Happy Easter! My name is Blake Burgett, and I serve as one of the pastor elders of Calvary West Littleton, and it is my honor to share this morning with you. So we're going to go ahead and open up with the passage that we're looking at this morning, which comes out of Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. So if you have your Bibles, please open them up there. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I mean, isn't this amazing? I'm so happy to be here. This is an incredible day to be celebrating Easter with you. It's an amazing, beautiful day with an amazing, beautiful backdrop and setting. And I just love that I get to celebrate with my extended family in the Lord, Calvary Littleton and Calvary Redeeming Grace. I love you guys. And this is just such a wonderful day. It's the most important day of the entire year. It's the most awesome thing that we could celebrate. The resurrection of our God and King, Jesus Christ. We celebrate with full hearts our precious Jesus and his victory over sin and death. But if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times we can be lulled into being distracted and viewing even this day with apathy and indifference. We become so familiar with this story about how our Creator God, the most incredible being in the universe, sent his Son into the world to die for us. He sacrificed himself for us and then was raised from the dead for us so that we might have a righteousness that is not our own and that we could live with our God forever in heaven. I mean, even that story, even on Easter Sunday, can be met with indifference. We become like unimpressed teenagers standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon, and instead of awe, we look at it as if it's nothing special. But I don't want that for you this morning. I don't want that for you, Christian. I want you to celebrate with a full heart, knowing that your King has died for you. And not only that, but he was raised to life for you. And I want you, of those who are here this morning who don't trust in Christ, I want you to see Jesus as if for the first time and to trust in him and in him alone. That's what I want for you this morning. Even if you've heard the good news 1,000 times, I want you to see it with fresh eyes today. But what could I possibly say about Jesus and his life and death and resurrection that you have not already heard on an Easter Sunday message? Well, the answer to that is probably nothing. I'm probably going to say nothing new to you. In fact, I don't want to say anything new to you because I want to preach with my dying breath this one message: Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected on the third day. That's what I'm going to preach for the rest of my life. And I hope that's the same for you, Christian. So I'm not going to say anything new. The message is going to be the same. But new is not necessarily better, right? So How are you going to see this message with new eyes and with fresh ears? Well, I can pray for you, and you can pray with me and for the people around you that God would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We can call upon the name of the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, and he can allow us to see this message as if it's for the first time and give us full hearts to rejoice as we should rejoice. So would you please pray with me right now that God would help us to see this Easter message as it should be seen. So, Father, we come before you right now, and we ask you to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We pray that you would open up our eyes. We pray that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, we pray that we would be like Mary in the garden, and that you would say our names so that we can see you for who you really are. We pray that we would be like the travelers on the Emmaus Road, and that you would bless us as you blessed them so that we can see you as the risen Christ. Lord, we pray with the Apostle Paul who said, Lord, please give us the strength. Give us strength so that we might comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Jesus Christ. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen. So the passage that we're looking at this morning comes out of a letter written by the Apostle Paul. And these five verses, they're all about how Jesus is better. We just sang a song with those exact words. Jesus is better. And this is an interesting claim because of who it's coming from. This is coming from a man who used to hate Jesus. And he hated Jesus' followers. In fact, he hated them so much that he even threw some of them into prison and even killed some of them with his own hands. He went from persecuting Christians, though, to being a persecuted Christian, because Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus Road and said, I am the Messiah, and I am the risen Savior of the world. And that moment changed everything for the Apostle Paul. And so he spent his life proclaiming that Jesus is better. In fact, the passage that we're looking at this morning was penned from prison. Paul was willing to sacrifice his life in order to tell people about the worthiness of Jesus Christ. That was the heartbeat of his life. And in the passage before us, Paul is going to tell us that Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer. And then he's going to give us two reasons for why that is the case. So do you want to know what the Easter message is all about? Then let's listen to what the Apostle Paul has to say. So let me just read to you again, verses 7 through 8. He says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. So Paul is letting us know in no uncertain terms that Jesus is better. So in other words, if you are here this morning and you are trusting in anything other than Jesus, you will be let down. If you're here this morning and you are trying to find fulfillment for your greatest desires in anything other than Jesus, you will be left empty. Paul tells us that once his eyes were opened to see the beauty and worthiness of Jesus, he looked at everything else like it was rubbish, garbage. The actual word that he uses here in this passage is excrement. Paul is essentially saying this. all those other things that I used to treasure and I used to trust in, they are not only worthless, they are worse than worthless. They are dangerous. I actually want to run away from them as fast as I can because they are obstacles to knowing Jesus Christ and his salvation. So let me just give you an illustration to communicate Paul's message. So, kids, where are the kids here? You can raise your hands. How many of you are excited for the Easter egg hunt? Yes, I see some really excited kids. And I think we've got quite a few Easter eggs. So this is very exciting. And I'm excited about the Easter egg hunt too, because even though I'm not going to be hunting the Easter eggs, I have three small children. And parents, you know what that means. And I know all of you, you eat your kids' Easter candy. And that's okay. And kids, you know, you probably are hearing this for the first time and you're shocked. And so if you don't want your Easter candy to be eaten by your parents late at night, I suggest you hide it or sleep with the candy, okay? So I'm just giving you a heads up on that. So I'm excited about the Easter egg hunt. And let's just imagine that there was a big, beautiful Easter egg out there. And you found it and you opened it up. It was huge. And you're excited because you think there's going to be a ton of candy in there. And you open it up. And the only thing that's inside is a bunch of empty candy wrappers. What would you think about that? What would you think about that? You'd probably say something like, well, I don't want this Easter egg. This Easter egg is worthless. I'm just going to throw it in the trash. Okay, so let's imagine there's another Easter egg, even more beautiful and even bigger. It's the most beautiful Easter egg you've ever seen. So you go over and you open it up and you're expecting that there's going to be a ton of candy in it. But instead of candy, there's a bunch of disease-ridden rat carcasses. What would you do then? You know, I tell you what I would do. First of all, I would scream, and then I would throw it down and run away as far as I could from that Easter egg. Because that's not a good Easter egg. That Easter egg is actually filled with harmful things, right? So the first egg was just worthless. It was just filled with empty candy wrappers. But the second egg is filled with danger. It could endanger your health. So when you trust in Jesus, and when you treasure him above everything else, everything that this world has to offer looks like an Easter egg filled with disease-ridden rat carcasses. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us here. And this is why he says in verse 8, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. This is an interesting phrase because it was actually used by ancient sailors to talk about, to describe the scramble that ensued when they began to throw cargo overboard to lighten the ship so that they could reach the harbor in safety and not be shipwrecked and lost at sea. So the cargo, the food, the goods, the treasures of all kinds that once were considered precious by these sailors is all of a sudden viewed as worthless, dangerous objects that are holding them down and are endangering their lives. It's dead weight. That's actually where that word comes from. So they're willing to lose the cargo. They're willing to throw it overboard in order to gain their lives. So likewise, the Apostle Paul is willing to throw everything that this world calls precious overboard so that he might reach the eternal harbor of Christ. Jesus used similar words and images when he was talking about himself. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything that he had in order to buy it. Are you willing to give up everything that this world has to offer? Are you willing to count everything that this world has to offer as loss so that you might gain Christ? For Paul, the cargo of his ship that he once viewed as great treasure was his own righteousness, his self-righteousness. And in verses 1 through 7 in our passage, in our chapter, Paul tells us that he had great confidence that he could be good enough according to the law in order to save himself. But then he encountered Jesus and he realized, I'm a sinner. And there is nothing that I could possibly do to wipe out the debt of my sin in order to live in the presence of God forever. Jesus is the only one who can save me. There are some of us here this morning that are like the Apostle Paul before he met Christ. We are trusting in ourselves instead of God. And we believe that if we can be just good enough or do enough good than bad deeds, that we can be saved. But that's a lie. There are others of us here this morning that are trusting in money more than we trust in Jesus. We trust in it to give us comfort, pleasure, security. There are others of us here this morning who believe in the promises of this world to bring us purpose and pleasure instead of in the all-satisfying Savior and His promises. What is weighing down your soul this morning that endangers the shipwreck of your heart? Anything that you treasure more or trust in more than Jesus is dead weight. Throw it overboard. And I implore you, before you leave here this morning, to trust in Jesus and to turn from your way of doing things and to turn to Him as the only one who can save you. And if you count everything that this world has to offer as rubbish, you will gain Christ. So some of you may be thinking right now, okay, well, I get it. Jesus is better. But why? Why is Jesus better? Why should I consider everything that this world has to offer as loss and as rubbish? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us two reasons. He says, first, Jesus is better because he gives us perfect righteousness that we can't find anywhere else. And then the second reason why Jesus is better is because he gives us resurrection power. So let's just take some time to look at these two realities. So, first of all, when I see Jesus is better than anything else that this world has to offer, I'm able to know Christ, to gain Christ, to be found in Christ. These are just synonyms that the Apostle Paul uses for having faith and trust in Jesus. And so Paul tells us what he means when we gain Christ and when we have trust in him. He says, I count all things that this world has to offer as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And then listen up to what he says here. He's going to tell us now what he means by gaining Christ and being found in him. He says, it means that I don't have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. So when we gain Christ, this means we are given Jesus' perfect righteousness. This is the beauty and the goodness of Easter. And Christians, this is the reason why we celebrate today. This is the most amazing gift that you could possibly be given. And here's the reality. In order to be in the presence of God for eternity, we must become perfectly righteous. Because we all know to be in the presence of a clean and perfectly pure and holy and righteous God, we ourselves have to be clean and righteous. But there's no possible way for sinful, rebellious people to make themselves righteous or good. There's no amount of good deeds that can wipe away your sins and make you holy. That's really bad news. But here's the really good news. God sent his own son into the world in order to live the perfect life that you could never live, and in order to die the death that you deserve to die, so that he could save you and live with you for all of eternity. So listen up, Christian. Through the life and death of Jesus, your sins have been wiped away. Your debt has been completely canceled. And you are given his perfect righteousness. And this is the reason why Easter is so amazing and why we celebrate Good Friday. And then notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says, how do you gain this perfect righteousness? Well, first of all, he says, it cannot be attained through your own effort, through obeying the law. That's impossible. Instead, this righteousness is offered to all people as a gift. It's a gift of grace through what? Through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is so important that Paul mentions it twice here in this verse. And faith is just simply, it just simply means that we trust in God solely and completely for our salvation. We don't trust in anything else. This perfect righteousness that is offered to you freely through faith is one of the main reasons why Paul counts everything as rubbish so that he might gain Christ. This is why Jesus is better. And as if this were not enough, we are told that Jesus is better in addition because when we gain Christ, we also receive his resurrection power. So let's look at verses 10 through 11. So why does Paul count all things as rubbish? He says, I do this in order that, verse 10, I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So in other words, when you get Christ, you also get his resurrection power. The reason we remember the death of Jesus and call Good Friday good is because Jesus didn't stay dead. If Jesus died and stayed dead, there would be no Easter, and we would have no hope. The Apostle Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15. If there is no resurrection from the dead, you of all people should be pitied. But the reality is, we do have hope. We do have hope because on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. And when you trust in Jesus, when you treasure him above everything else this world has to offer, you receive the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And when you have a faith and a power like that, you are given freedom over fear and over suffering and over death. This is why the Apostle Paul can say in 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this victory that Paul mentions is the death and resurrection of Jesus. So if you are found in Jesus, what can all the forces of man and all the powers of hell do to you, Christian? Nothing. They can't do anything to you because you have the resurrection power of our God and King. This is why the people of God for thousands of years have been fearless in the face of suffering and death. This is why our brothers and sisters in Christ in North Korea and Afghanistan and Somalia are willing to give up their lives for the gospel. It's because they know that if they trust in Jesus, even if they suffer in this life, they will be raised from the dead as Jesus was 2,000 years ago. And here's one of the greatest truths of Easter that we often miss here in America. So your ultimate hope and your ultimate destiny is not in some kind of disembodied existence where you float around some kind of spiritual resort. No, I mean, that's ridiculous. Your ultimate hope and your ultimate destiny is that one day that body of yours that is sick, that body of yours that is failing, that body of yours that is broken and in constant pain, that body of yours that will one day betray you and die, the hope of the Christian is that one day that body will be raised to new life in Jesus Christ. And you will get to live in his presence in the new heavens and the new earth forever. Forever. That is your hope. And Paul is so confident in this hope and power of resurrection that he says he is even willing to suffer. In fact, he says he desires to suffer for the name of Christ, because he knows that when we share in Christ's sufferings and when we share in his death, we also will experience his power of resurrection. When we die to ourselves, and when we nail our sin to the cross, and when we die with Jesus, we know that we will also one day be raised with him. So do you trust in Christ this morning? Do you trust in Christ, Christian? Then rejoice, because you had nothing to fear. Your sins have been washed away, and even if your body dies, you will be raised again with him. And this is what Easter is all about. And are you here this morning, but you have never trusted in or treasured Jesus the way that I've been talking about this morning? But maybe you're seeing him for the first time, and you see that Jesus is better. Then I implore you to put your faith and trust in him alone for the salvation of your soul. And please, please don't leave here this morning without praying with someone and telling them about this eternity-changing moment in your life. It'd be one of the greatest joys of my life to pray with you this morning, if that's you. Jesus is better. He's better than anything this world has to offer, because he sacrificed himself and was resurrected on the third day for me and for you, so that we might receive his perfect righteousness and so that we might receive his resurrection power over sin and death. So this upcoming week marks 23 years since the horrific events at Columbine High School. It's just a 2-minute walk from here. And as I was preparing for the sermon, I came out here to this field just to spend some time praying. And I wandered over to the Columbine Memorial, which is like 100 yards from this very stage. And I started reading some of the memorial stones and placards there. And I was struck by how many of the victims believed in this Easter message that Jesus is better. I'd never been there before. It was so powerful for me to read these testimonies of these people. I read the testimony of Rachel Joyce Scott, like when she was asked in the library if she believed in Jesus. She replied to her killers, "You know that I do." That was the reason she was killed, and those were the last words that she spoke here on this earth. And then there's Cassie Renee Bernal. She would tell people that her greatest heart's desire was, quote, to live for Christ. And the memorial written about her just beyond this hill says that although her life was tragically ended, this is a quote from her memorial stone, her stand continues to encourage many to seek new life through Jesus Christ. And do you want to know what passage of Scripture closes out her memorial stone? It's Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. The very same passage that we've been talking about this morning. The very same passage that talks about how Jesus is better and how he gives us resurrection power. These young women believed with their very lives that Jesus is better. They believed that everything this world has to offer is loss and rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord. They desired to know Christ and to be found in him so that they might have a righteousness that is not based upon the law, but is based upon faith in Jesus Christ. They placed their trust in Jesus and treasured him above all things so that they might share in his sufferings and in his death so that they might know his resurrection power. These young women will one day be raised from the dead with the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead 2,000 years ago today. And if you are a Christian this morning, you share in the same indestructible hope. And this is cause for great rejoicing. So celebrate and rejoice today, Christian, because today is for you. Jesus is better. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message that Jesus is better. And Lord, we ask you again, one more time, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see this reality. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts with unspeakable joy as we celebrate the most important event in human history. Lord Jesus, we love you because you're better. We love you because you give us a perfect righteousness that we could never get for ourselves. We love you because you died for us. We love you because you give us the power of resurrection over sin and death. And Lord, we rejoice knowing that one day we will be gathered together with you, with all the saints here, and we will rejoice with new bodies, proclaiming Jesus is better. We pray this in the name of our Savior, the one who died for us and the one who was raised for us. In Jesus' name, amen.